Well, hey, everybody, glad to be in church today. Welcome, welcome. So glad you've joined us. And for all of you at our other locations, all of you at our Hokesson location, a big welcome to you. Love our church family in Hokesson. All of you joining us online, a big welcome to you as well. And if you are here for the first time at any of our locations, today is a party. All weekend long has been a party. And we're celebrating with people who are going public with their faith in Jesus through baptism. So in just a few minutes, we'll get an opportunity to do that together. All of you who signed up in advance, as you heard, we're ready for you. And then any of you here today at any of our locations who decide, man, I want to take this step, we're ready for you as well. And you can make the decision spontaneously. We have everything that you need to go public with your faith. It's going to be an amazing time. So we are wrapping up a series this weekend called You Matter. And here's what we've been discovering all month long, that all of us matter to God. We matter to God, each of us, no matter our story, our past, our pain. We matter to God, and as we become more aware of how much our lives matter to God, we become more aware of how much the lives of everybody around us matters to God as well. So that's what frees us. When we get a picture of what we mean to God and how He sees us, and we become aware of how everyone around us is also valued by God, that's what frees us from our insecurities and our distractions and honestly our selfishness at times. It frees us up to serve and to show compassion and to carry the goodness of God into the world, wherever we are, in every environment, to begin to look at life differently than we have in the past. That's what sets us free. But freedom is a word that not everybody associates with God or faith. In fact, sometimes people see God as restricting freedom rather than offering freedom. So when a pastor like me says something like, God wants us to be free, some of us, depending on our experience or our perspective of faith and God and church, we think, does he though? I mean, if he really wants me to be free, why does it sometimes seem like church and God are just about giving up stuff? So let me ask you, have you ever experienced what you thought would lead to freedom, but it wasn't as freeing as you hoped? Have you had that experience? So here's what I mean. We get out of middle school and we think, I'm free. And then we get into high school and realize, I'm not, right? I mean, how many of us, we graduate from college and we think, freedom, and then it sinks in. What that means is, oh, now I'm free to get a job. That's what I'm free to do. We move out of our parents' house and think, finally, I'm free, but all that means is we're now free to pay our own cell phone bill, which is what you're supposed to do when you move out of your parents' house, so they wanted me to tell you. All right, so many times in life, we pursue something that we think is going to lead to freedom. In fact, how many of us have thought we got into a relationship, we found that person, and we thought, I'm finally free from the single life and all the pressure I felt when I was single. And then we realize the not single life is not as free as we thought it would be. You might not want to raise your hand on that one, depending on who's at church with you. But this is what we do as human beings. We, in an effort to convince ourselves that our lives matter. Listen, all of us, deep down, I don't care how tough we appear, how much we act like we've got it all together, all of us have this craving to know that we're worthy, that our lives matter, that there's a purpose to our lives. And in an effort to really find that identity and that security, we pursue freedom, which we think is doing whatever we want, whenever we want, with whomever we want. That's kind of our idea of what freedom is. Well, if I could do whatever I want, whenever I want, with whomever I want, then I would be free. And so we pursue that and we take steps in that direction. In fact, we think, when my situation changes, I'll be free. When my income changes, I'll be free. When my relationship status changes, I'll be free. And then we get there and we don't sense this freedom. And we think, well, maybe I need even more. It's like we're being ripped off. I mean, what's up with that? And could following Jesus actually lead to real freedom? Like if we took this thing called faith in Jesus seriously, could it lead us to a place where we realize that the real change that brings freedom is not an external change as much as an internal change? So when Jesus is around 30 years old, he goes public with his message and his miracles. You can read about this in the New Testament of the Bible. He starts traveling around, teaching, doing miracles, healing people. But before he does any of that, he goes public by being baptized. He wants to make it clear that he finds his identity and his security in God. And so he's baptized. And right after Jesus is baptized, he goes through intense temptation, which is often what happens, by the way. If you're kind of new to your spiritual journey, new to following Jesus, when you take a step in your faith, you've been kind of going with the flow, but you turn around, start swimming upstream in some area in your priorities or your habits or your attitude or your decisions, all of a sudden you encounter conflict. And if that's happening to you, be encouraged. Jesus went through that. And he went through that as an example to us. And he comes out on the other side of this period of intense temptation. And then this happens. This is in the book of Luke in the New Testament. Then Jesus returned to Galilee, which is where he grew up, where he spent his childhood. But now he's filled with the Holy Spirit's power. We know Jesus was and is God, the Son of God. All the fullness of God inhabited his human body. But he also was fully human. He didn't cheat while he was here on earth. He encountered human life the same way that we do. So as a human, he's filled with the Holy Spirit's power in the same way that we can be filled with the Holy Spirit's power. This is not taught. We can't be God like Jesus is, but we can be filled with the Holy Spirit the way Jesus was as a human being. Everybody tracking with that? So he's got the Holy Spirit's power. Reports about him spread quickly through the whole region, even though nobody had TikTok yet. And he taught regularly in their synagogues, their places of worship, and was praised by everyone. So Jesus begins his public ministry, going about teaching, doing miracles, and people are drawn to him. Why? Because he's filled with the Holy Spirit's power. So he makes waves wherever he goes. There's just something about him. People want to be around him. They're drawn to him. And he returns to Galilee, where he grew up, and one day he's in the town of Nazareth, this little town where he actually spent his childhood in the region of Galilee, and he stands up in one of the synagogues, the Jewish places of worship, and he reads some verses from the Old Testament of the Bible, some verses from a book called Isaiah, written by a guy hundreds of years before Jesus showed up, who prophesied or predicted that someone would come who would be a savior for us, that someone would come and solve the problem we've been trying to solve, solve the problem of real spiritual freedom, an internal transformation. For a long time, God had given us his law because he is a perfect and holy God. And he said, this is what a lot of us know of religion, the do's and don'ts, the things that we should do, things we shouldn't do. And human beings had tried to obey God's law, but we never could. And we kept rebelling against God and doing our own thing, which is kind of what we do because we're chasing after freedom. And so Isaiah predicted that someone would come and actually pay the price to forgive our sins, everything that's ever separated us from God in our thoughts, in our words, in our actions. Someone would come, pay the price for our sins so that we could be forgiven and that he would introduce us to real freedom, okay? So Isaiah predicted this. Jesus is standing in a synagogue, a place of worship one day. Someone hands him a scroll with these words from Isaiah on it, and Jesus reads this part from the scroll. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me or chosen me, set me apart, selected me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. So anybody ever had the experience where you've been baited and switched? Has this happened to anybody? Anybody ever been baited and switched? Here's what I mean. You thought you were getting into one thing, and then you realize you were getting into something else. Your profile said you were tall. It's okay for a short guy to make that joke. Relax. You were baited and switched. Or have you had that experience where you're like, okay, when I started this job 3 months ago, this was not in the job description. This is not what I signed up for. I had no idea. If I had known. Can I tell you that some of us have felt that way with religion? We have looked to religion as a philosophy or, you know, a way of doing certain things and not doing others. And we thought, well, this will solve my problems, and then we ended up worse off. Why? Because we tried to change something externally before we had been internally transformed. And we were trying to do the religious thing, and then we just feel like, well, man, I've been baited and switched. Can I tell you, Jesus did not come to bait and switch us. He came so we could be free. He came to bring good news to the poor, financially and spiritually. He came to release captives physically and emotionally and spiritually. He came to help blind people see again, literally and spiritually. He came to set those who are oppressed free. That's why Jesus came, so that we could have real freedom. And when we have real freedom, when the things on the outside of our lives begin to change, which they will if the freedom is real, it's because there's an internal transformation that we couldn't do on our own, but it's the Holy Spirit's power doing the work. That's what Jesus came to do in our lives. So Jesus stands up in this synagogue, this place of worship. He reads these verses, and then he rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the attendant, and sat down. Mic drop. That's what Jesus did. He was like, what's up now? All eyes in the synagogue looked at him intently, and then he began to speak to them. Here's what he said. The scripture you've just heard has been fulfilled this very day. In other words, the freedom you've been searching for is in the room with you. The hope you've been pursuing is here. The purpose you've been trying to find, take a good look. Jesus says, you matter to God so much that he sent me to set you free. God could not stand to watch us continue to spin our wheels, chasing a false form of freedom that could never satisfy us. So he sent his son to introduce us to real freedom. But how? I mean, how could somebody who lived 2,000 years ago set you and me free now? I mean, what is that all about? How do we know it's not just another dead-end road that promises freedom but doesn't deliver? Well, fast forward 3.5 years from the day that Jesus stood there and read those verses and that prophecy, the prediction from Isaiah. Now he's gone everywhere teaching, doing miracles. But then a bunch of religious leaders who are more interested in controlling people's behavior than they are in seeing people be transformed by God, arrest Jesus and they have him executed. For the crime, he's crucified for the crime of declaring himself the source of hope. But Jesus doesn't stay dead. And this is at the heart of the Christian faith. He rises again. And he appears to a bunch of people over a few weeks. So Jesus goes to the cross, he dies, he's buried 3 days, he rises again. And then he makes these appearances over a period of about 7 weeks. He shows up and he is in the midst of his followers. He's walking on a road shortly after he's resurrected with some of his followers. He appears in a room. That's one of my favorite moments. We talked about it last weekend where Jesus just kind of shows up in a room where there are a bunch of his disciples who are like, well, he died. Some people say he's risen again. We're not sure. And Jesus is like, hey, what's up? And they're like, is it you? And he's, yeah, it's me. And so he appears to all these people, and then he ascends to heaven. So he leaves this planet. He goes to heaven where Jesus is now and where all of us will one day join him if our faith is in him to experience eternal joy. So he ascends to heaven, and then a group of his followers, he tells them, I want you to stay in this city of Jerusalem, and I want you to pray, and I want you to wait, because you are going to be filled with the Holy Spirit's power. Sound familiar to everybody? In other words, Jesus says, I've walked among you for 3.5 years. I've shown you what your life could look like if you find your identity and your security in God. And now I'm going to fill you with power so you can live in this world like I lived in this world. He ascends to heaven, his followers get together, they're in a room in Jerusalem, they're praying, and 10 days later, they are filled with the Holy Spirit. The breath of God blows on them, the wind of God comes into the room. They start speaking all these languages they didn't learn from Rosetta Stone. I mean, they've got the power of God at work in their lives. It's a miracle. It's just the Holy Spirit, and all kinds of people come running from all over Jerusalem to see it. Because that's what happens when ordinary people get filled up with the Spirit of God. And so all these people come running, and they're like, what is happening? This is crazy. People got their phones out. or they would have. And somebody's like, I think, is everybody drunk? And so a guy named Peter steps up at this point, shouts to the crowd, hold on. Listen, first of all, nobody's drunk. It's 9 a.m, not how we roll. Nobody's drunk. This is what God has been promising, that he would take ordinary people, set them free from that hamster wheel of trying to find fulfillment and purpose in this life and never being satisfied, transform them from the inside out, fill them with power so they could live in this world like Jesus lived in this world. And Peter begins to tell them the message, the good news that Jesus said he came to bring. He says, God sent his son, Jesus, to do miracles. He says, some of you guys have heard about the miracles. You've seen the miracles. You know about this. But that wasn't all Jesus came to do. He went to a cross and he was nailed there and he died for our sins so that we could be free. Jesus was the only human being who has ever lived who never sinned. He never thought anything, said anything, or did anything that would separate him from the presence of God, his Father. And so he was the only one who could pay the price for our sins. We couldn't find freedom on our own. We needed to be forgiven of the brokenness inside of us, the sin and the shame that all of us carry, that we either try to pretend isn't real or we wallow in guilt trying to fix it ourselves. Jesus came and he took care of that when he died for us, and then he rose again, and now he sets us free. This is the good news. It's the good news. And Peter proclaims this to this crowd. There are thousands of people just trying to figure out what's going on. Peter tells them all of this, and this is what happens. His words pierce their hearts. So they don't just go, okay, let me try to understand that rationally. They are transformed. They're moved by God, and they said to him and to the other apostles, the disciples of Jesus, brothers, what should we do? We don't want to just hear this. We want to respond. And Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God. What does that mean? That word repent means literally turn 180 degrees. You've been going this way. I'm going to chase everything in this world. I'm going to figure out how to be a good person. I'm going to figure out how to be free. Now turn 180 degrees. You've been headed toward your selfishness and your sin. Now turn toward God. Just reorient your life toward God and then be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. So be immersed in water as a sign that you've been washed and made new by Jesus, and then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And if any of you are wondering if you're qualified and who's eligible and who does this apply to, this promise is to you, to your children, and to those far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God. If you're here today, any of our locations, and you would say, I'm not really sure if I've been called by God. If you're here and God is moving on your heart, you have been called by God. It's not an accident. It's not a coincidence. You have been called by God. He's drawing you to him. It's what he does. And this is how Jesus sets us free. He forgives the brokenness inside of us. You say, well, how do you know I have brokenness inside of me? Well, because you're a human. All of us do. You have brokenness inside of you. I have brokenness inside of me. In fact, how many of us have discovered something about ourselves recently that we came to understand was genetic? You have any kind of genetic predispositions? So I'm 5'8". That's a genetic thing, all right? I have high cholesterol. It's genetic. It's genetic. My doctor looked at me one day and said, look, at this point, it doesn't matter what you do. It's genetic. I was like, thanks. What's my copay? Appreciate that. It's great. Fantastic. Let's talk bedside manner. Let's work on that. Just kidding. He's a great doctor. It's genetic. I have back issues. Genetic. I'm going to stop there because it's getting depressing, but you get the idea, right? It's genetic. It's like I can't fix it on my own. You are looking at one of the most type A driven people on the planet. Ask anybody who knows me well. I have a plan for everything. I have a plan for how to make plans. Not kidding. And I have things in my life I can't fix. I can work as hard as I want. I will never be 6'5". I can work as hard as I want. I will never play in the NFL. You're supposed to be like,
Yeah, you will.
No. It's genetic. It's generational. Every rational person listening to me right now agrees with that. You don't go, oh, I don't know. I think if you tried really hard. So listen, why would you find it so strange that sin is a genetic problem? It has been passed down from generation to generation. And no matter how hard any of us work, we cannot solve that problem on our own. We cannot fix the brokenness inside of us on our own. So Jesus comes and says, I want to set you free from the painful and fruitless pursuit of transforming your own life in your own power, which will ultimately leave you dissatisfied. And I want to show you the path to real freedom. Put your trust in me and in what I did for you on the cross and by rising again, and you can be free, truly free to live your life. And when Peter proclaims that to the crowd, those who believed what he said were baptized, just like we're about to celebrate and experience today. And they were added to the church that day. That doesn't mean somebody put their name in a database. It means they were spiritually connected to a community of faith. About 3,000 in all in one day. It was a party, just like today. People welcomed this new freedom that Jesus offers. They repented. They turned away from their old life and they turned toward God. It's a change of direction. And they were baptized. They went public with their faith in Jesus. They became a part of a new community. And then they started living new lives, lives of real freedom. That's important because these people didn't just say, okay, I believe in Jesus. Now I'm going to kind of add that to my philosophy of life. No, they surrendered their lives to a new way of living. Some of us have been frustrated with our faith. We think it's not working because we prayed a prayer and we asked Jesus, be Lord of my life. I'm giving my life to you. And then we went right back to living our lives the same way we did before. And now we're like, well, I thought I was free. You can be free and then decide you want to visit the jail every day. Well, I think I'll just stay and have lunch. I'm here now. And someone could come in and go, what? You don't believe, you're not a prisoner anymore. You were set free. You're no longer incarcerated. See, I know, but food's good. Some of us are living that way. Jesus set us free, and you think he didn't set you free. And he's like, I did. You keep going back to the prison. I don't know why. You don't have to. You don't have to live in shame anymore. You don't have to live in anxiety anymore. You don't have to be a victim to your sin anymore. You could live a new life. And that's what these people did. If you read the next few verses, they started living this new life. You're going to find when you read in Acts 2, after they put their faith in Jesus, were baptized, they gathered for worship and teaching like we are right now. They connected like we do in J groups. They did life with people going the same direction spiritually, and they got open and honest with each other, and they formed friendships with each other. They served each other with joy and generosity like we do on our J team here. They used their gifts to make a difference. And not only that, they invited other people to experience God with them, just like we do. We invite people to come experience God with us. We're going to do that throughout At the Movies next month. It's a new way of living. They prayed. You read the book of Acts and they prayed, which is what we do. We call it practicing a slot and spot, a time and place every day where we read the Bible and pray and ask God to guide our lives. Why? Because we don't want to go back to prison. We don't want to live like we're still incarcerated by sin. We want to live in the freedom that God has given us. And then they gave generously. They made Jesus Lord of their income and their budget. He was the first line item, just like we do when we give our first. It works if you work it. It was a new life. And they said, We're not going to go back. We're not going to say, well, now I've found Jesus. I'm just going to go back and live the way I've always lived. No, I'm going to build my life on the foundation of Jesus Christ. They said, I'm going to build my daily habits and my weekly habits around what matters to God and the things that really matter in life. That's the freedom Jesus invites every one of us into. And it starts with believing in him, being baptized, going public with our faith, and receiving God's Spirit, just opening our lives up to the presence and the power of God every day. That's the freedom. That's the freedom. But you do have to give up something to experience that. So let me not bait and switch. Let me be very clear. Jesus was very clear. You have to give up your sin. You say, what is my sin? It's all the stuff that for years has been promising you freedom and failing to deliver. It's been saying, man, if you just do more of this, if you just hook up with them, if you just have more of that, if you just chase after this, you'll be free. Now, some of you, I understand, some of you are like, no, man, it's working. I feel better. It's got an expiration date. And the day will come when you will discover that it's hollow and empty and can't satisfy you. So if you want the freedom Jesus offers, you don't have to fix yourself. In fact, just the opposite. You have to surrender yourself. That's where freedom comes from. You're going to have to give up control. What is control? It's all the ways that you try to find security and identity outside of God. And what control does is control says, I will heal your anxiety, and then it ends up feeding it. So you're going to have to surrender your life. To say, Jesus, I want you to be leader and Lord of my life. See, real freedom isn't your circumstances changing. It isn't your address changing. It isn't your last name changing. It isn't your net worth changing. It's you changing. And only Jesus can accomplish that. You cannot fix you on your own. I cannot fix me on my own. Only he can heal the brokenness inside of us and make us free. Here's how a guy named Daniel, who went public with his faith, one of our baptism weekends here, describes it. He writes, I was raised in a spiritual home. I developed many religious practices. I knew what to do, how to do it, when to do it, yet I lacked a real experience. Over the years, things had gotten cold, stale, and lifeless for me. I found myself lost in do's and don'ts. I didn't know who I was. The Christian life felt more binding and condemning than freeing. Something was missing. I had a God awareness, but no real connection. I felt broken, lost, and confused. And I wanted to set out on a journey to find God. I knew in finding God, I would find myself. I wanted to see myself the way he saw me. I needed a reawakening. There were a lot of things I had to renounce, some confessions I needed to make. I had to take off the mask and bear all to God. But in doing so, I was reintroduced to God's love, his forgiving love, his freeing love. I decided to get baptized. It was a day I literally felt overwhelmed by God's love, a love that wanted me just as I was, but that washed me and made me new. Experiencing God's love for me, I began to see myself differently. I am new. That's freedom. That's the freedom Jesus offers. So if you haven't said yes to following Jesus yet, if you're here today and you haven't made that decision and you'd like to today, I'm not here to twist your arm, but if you would say, you know, I kind of feel like my heart is pierced a little, like I'm, Jesus is what I need in my life. He's who I need in my life. In just a moment, I'm going to lead us in a simple prayer, and that's your opportunity to say yes to following Jesus. If God's drawing you to him, to repent, to turn away from the life you've lived without God and turn in God's direction through faith in Jesus. And then, whether you put your faith in Jesus in the next couple of minutes, or it was over the past few weeks or months or the last year, 5 years ago, 20 years ago, if you haven't gone public with your faith in baptism as a personal decision to identify with Jesus Christ, today's your day. That's your next step. And if you have taken that step, you're going to have an opportunity to be reminded of the power of that moment as you celebrate with other people who are going from death to life through Jesus. So I'm going to lead us in prayer, and I want everybody, all of our locations, I want you to open your heart up to God with me right now. and just block out every distraction. And then if that's you today, if you want to put your faith in Jesus, maybe you even consider yourself a religious person or a Christian person, but you don't have a personal relationship with God. If that's you today, whisper out a prayer of faith, something like this. Jesus, today, I believe in you. I'm turning away from the life I've lived without you, and I'm turning in your direction. I believe you died for me. I believe you paid the price so that I could be free. Save me today. Rescue my life. And give me the power to follow you. And if that's you, while everyone around you stays focused on God, if you would say, I want to be included in that prayer, I'm putting my faith in Jesus today. Here's what I want you to do. Just lift your hand and hold it up high. Yeah, yeah, yes. Yeah, it's amazing. Putting my faith in Jesus today, trusting him with my life. Hokesson, hold that hand up high. Putting my faith in Jesus. If you're online, you can type the word faith in the comments, whatever platform you're on. Let us know you took that step. Before you leave today, make sure you let us know on a Connect card. We want to celebrate that with you. But for right now, here's what I want to invite you to do. I want you to stand with me. If you're in one of our physical rooms, stand. If you're watching online, if you're able to, depending on where you are, just take a moment, stand with me. We're going to worship together again in a moment, but we're getting ready to celebrate. It's baptism weekend. And already this weekend, 35 people have gone public with their faith in Jesus. It's so exciting. Yeah, it's awesome. And all day today, more people will be taking that step. So if you signed up in advance, in just a moment, I'm going to invite you to walk out of the auditorium into the entry area in the cafe. Our team's ready for you. But if you didn't sign up in advance, here's what I want you to do. If you want to take that step, we have everything you need. We have shorts. We have t-shirts, and you can keep the t-shirt as a reminder of the day you went public with your faith. We have towels. I mean, we've got everything you need. No excuses. This is a great towel. I mean, this is a top shelf towel. We've got it all for you. We're ready for you. We're ready. So, yeah, if you didn't sign up in advance, but listen, you're going, okay, if you believe in Jesus, again, whether that happened 20 seconds ago or 20 minutes ago, 20 years ago, somewhere in between, if you would say, my faith is in Jesus, why would you wait a moment longer? Today's your day. And the good news is, in just a moment, when everybody who signed up in advance walks out, you just walk out like you signed up in advance. Have a little swagger, in fact. Be like, nobody will know the difference. And we'll celebrate with you as you go public with your faith in Jesus. Sound good to everybody? So, right now, whether you signed up in advance or you're spontaneously deciding, today's my day, I want to be baptized, go right now to the entry area, whatever that looks like at your location, in Newark, the cafe, in Hokesson, the entry area. If you're online and you want to take this step, let the host know. We've got resources for you so that you can be baptized at home. We're ready. No excuses. And everybody else, as we get ready to celebrate, let's open our hearts up to God. Today is the day Jesus is going to change lives, and we're going to celebrate it together. Let's worship him.
not only to tell Jesus, but to show him that I am 100% all in.
Show my gratitude to God, and just to show him, like, there's no better way than to make it public.
Once you come out of the water, you just see, like, all these smiling faces who are supporting you and encouraging you, and then it's more comfortable on the ground, you know, on the foundation of Christ.
He had taken all, like, the broken pieces of my past and, like, made me whole again.
Celebrate, shall we? Let's go. Thank you. today. Let's sing them out.